ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Fred Huebner, my favorite old and crabby guy. Just about 2 years ago, our former boss stuck a classic rock guy who knew sports together with a sports guy, the new classic rock, for some weekend shows here on ESPN 1000. We argued the finer points of your rather fluid position on the relevancy of managers in baseball, celebrated our mutual appreciation for the greatest rock trio out of Canada, Rush, although Triumph is almost a close second, and wallowed together in the misery of being Bears fans. And we survived COVID, so far. Happy retirement, pal. Where you're going, you won't need a mic. Just a rocking chair on the front porch to share all your loud opinions with your neighbors, whether they like it or not. See you out there sometime for a crafty or two.
Oh, Mark Zander.
You have a rocking chair?
You know what we did? My girlfriend Linda for Christmas, I had told her that we're going to have a deck in the back of the house we're building in Lockport. And I said, you know, we're going to need I'd like to get one of those gliders.
Yeah.
Because we're up high a little bit looking down onto the backyard. And so for Christmas, she bought these two gliders. It's like a wicker thing, a wicker back, and nice cushions. And so for Christmas, she goes, come on out to the garage. And I knew she had bought me something. I go, what the hell could this be? And it's
rather
a glider.
Large package.
Yeah, it was a nice glider. And so we'll be sitting out there. There's a horse farm right behind us. And apparently they do a lot of Mexican festivals and stuff like that. Neighbors say that sometimes the Mexican music gets a little loud. And I said, you know what? That's fine. I'll just pop another beer and sit on the porch.
You know where it gets loud? Down in San Antonio, the Riverwalk.
Uh-huh.
So the first time I covered a Final Four down there, again, a Marriott, because that's where I stayed for 3 or 4 years of my life, actual calendar years, overlooking the Riverwalk. Well, the mariachi band start at like 8 in the morning and go till 2
All
or 3
hours,
in the morning.
Right.
And it's great the first afternoon and sunshine, uh-huh. And maybe you have a margarita or whatever. About the third or fourth day there, you're like, you just want to yell, get off my lawn or get out of my Riverwalk.
Well, someone in the neighborhood said, if you just call the police, they know about them, and they'll come and tell them to quiet down. I said, that's okay. I said, I'm not going to worry about it. So we'll wait and see how it goes. But we'll be sitting on the back porch in a nice little glider with probably a cooler in between.
I can see that.
It'll be nice.
I'm not a stretch.
No, we're going to get into some Bulls conversation. 312-332-3776. I had a great game last night. I watched start to almost finish. I had a podcast to do when I was watching the Bulls pile up 130 points. And this guy may have been there last night. Jason, what's up?
Fred, I heard it was your last show. And I just want to call and say, I appreciate the heck out of you. You don't always see eye to eye with me on baseball TV, but I just wanted to say you have been an institution in this city. I always loved walking by you at the other station when I was interning there. And I love that you have your opinions, and sometimes you don't like me. So I appreciate it, dude. I really do.
But here's the biggest thing, and I tried to tell people this about a month ago. I said, listen, first of all, it's not that I don't like Jason. We just disagree on certain things. And I go, second of all, the last thing Jason should ever worry about is how I feel about him. I go, Jason's got jobs everywhere. Every time I turn the damn TV on, I know you were working with Andy Garcia and Will Perdue the other day down at the Illinois game and things like that. You're everywhere. And you know what? That's because people love listening to you. So it's just because one guy might not like it, you know.
And Jason, I was at a farewell party for Mike Lederman a couple years ago. And our buddy Steve Stone, who I've known forever, we're talking about you, and he said, here's an example of Jason Benetti. He said, you were doing college basketball, the tournament, the regionals, whatever. You had a choice between, like, San Diego and going to Idaho or Utah. He said, where would you? I said, I'd be in San Diego, like, 3 weeks before I have to be there. And he said, Jason, of course, picked Idaho or Utah because he wanted the better assignment, whatever. And it you're all about the work and the games and the matchups and so, of course, you took the road less traveled by, where the rest of us dopes would have been trying to go to the Gaslight District. So Stoney loves you for all the right reasons. And Sox math, 1-1, Jason and Fred.
You know, listen.
Well, here's what I want to say, though, Fred. Like, I wanted to call because I really do. Like, I think it's very difficult in this world to have an opinion that some people don't agree with. And, like, To be critical when you feel like you need to be critical. And I told you this at Sox Fest in person.
Yeah.
And, like, I really, really, really want you to know that even if you don't like it, I respect people who have opinions that might go against what other people think. So, like, we need that in the world. Like, when friends of mine like to send me texts of your subtweets, and we, like, laugh about them. But seriously, I'm not, like, this is not disingenuous. I'm not blowing smoke. Like, I think it's important that people have contrary opinions and are able to criticize. Like, I agree, like, there have been days where I've not had good games, and I've agreed with you. Like, I really think it's important to have that in the world, and I wanted to call and tell you that on your last day.
This sounds like a podcast. Really, you guys, really, you have to have Jason on for the podcast.
Well, I'd invite him on anytime. He works every damn day.
I know.
Jeez, between you and Adam Amin, you've got everything in the world covered. I mean,
do the Sox pay more than $15 an hour, like the Bears are going to pay Olin Krutz?
Hey, I had a promo last night during the Bulls game about the after show for the last Bears game,
yeah.
And Olin's name was on it, and it took, like, every fiber of my being not to mention it.
No, I was listening. It was great. And you and Stacey, the one thing I always know is that you're always going to be prepared.
Absolutely.
You're going to throw stuff out at me that I may or may not know, but it's great to hear it. And that's why, you know, even my friends are split down the middle on certain things. And they, you know, some agree with me, some don't. And that's what makes the world go round. And you're right. I'll tell this on Sylvie and Waddle all the time, but they used to always love Rob Manfred. And then slowly but surely, they said, you know, he's not that great a guy. I said, well, I've never been a Rob Manfred fan. And I said, because anybody that talks about competitive balance when one league has the DH and the other doesn't,
and
should never want to open his mouth.
And a third of the league is trying to tank every year. Don't give me competitive balance.
Oh, my God. But that, Jason, I appreciate you calling because I love, you know, busting, you know, everything. And
you should.
Yeah.
That's what makes the world go around.
I think so.
I don't want to take too much of your time. I just wanted to say thank you. Seriously, thank you for having contrary opinions, because we don't have enough of that in the world. And I know some of them have been directed toward me, and that makes me respect you more. It really does.
Jason, I appreciate it very much. Thanks a lot. And if you're ever willing, I'll definitely have you on one of my podcasts on Monday nights. We'll touch base down the road. Yeah. We'll find a time when you're not playing. Unfortunately, it may be in March or April when you got nothing else to do.
When you're not in San Diego.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Appreciate it. Jason Benetti, I watched the game last night, and Jason's doing the game because Adam Amin does football every weekend.
Yeah.
And it's funny because these guys have no idea who they're going to be working with one day to the next. When they're on the road, it's Robbie Hummel or it's somebody else.
Terrific work,
and all
too,
of a sudden, Casey Johnson jumps up and has to do a game.
My old pal,
at least for the first quarter.
Made on the road, yeah.
And that was fun to listen to. And like we talked about, and we're going to take some Bulls calls too if you want to jump in, because they have been amazing to watch. And I see that Billy Donovan said they need to take more threes. Lonzo Ball must have took that as only threes because he took 11 shots and they were all threes last night.
Yeah.
So, but it's again,
Kobe White 4-for-4 from beyond the arc.
Yeah, Io was 3-for-4. So we'll get into some Bulls conversation throughout. We're here till 1 o'clock. Let's go to Aurora and Jim. You're on ESPN 1000.
Do we have to leave at 1? I could do this for 2 days.
Well, we
right into the Bears post game.
I got Bears post game tomorrow. I got to find something else to do. I was going to go see a Lockport basketball game, but that got postponed because of COVID and everything else. And things are just getting, it's hard to figure it out. I'm behind a couple episodes on Dexter, so maybe I can catch up on that.
Someone got murdered.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Or at least is about to. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, guys. One last time, Fred. Congrats again. And you know where you rank, in my opinion, on legendary sports Chicago history here. So anyhow, I would love nothing more than to have Brian fill in here for the rest of the way and pick up all those hours, because he's right behind you guys here, being an original
dope
sports guy here in Chicago. So Fred, I'm going to text you immediately when the Bears hire Jim Harbaugh. I told you a month ago, he's the guy. He should be. He's the best fit. I agree with Bear fan Bob. If they don't go that way, it'll probably be Doug Peterson.
But I'll be
texting you as soon as they hire Jim Harbaugh.
That sounds good, Jim. We appreciate it. We'll stay in touch.
How's that going?
Thank you.
How are we doing on the Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Leslie Frazier Twitter poll?
Yeah, how's it going now?
Sean Payton.
I've got... I'm guessing.
Yeah, Peyton's running away. He's got two-thirds of the vote. Harbaugh is losing with 28%.
He was 35 earlier.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
And then Leslie Frazier with 6% of the vote.
Huh. See, I just don't think people know Leslie Frazier.
He's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's and, not high profile.
No. And wouldn't you like, I mean, I guess I'd like to see
Leslie
a Bears.
Leslie Frazier was the best Bear of that group.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Right. And I'd like to see a guy come in and solidify the defense. And people are going to say, well, just hire an offensive coordinator
well, then,
who knows what he's doing.
Hire John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You're going to hire a Harbaugh.
Yeah, I know. But a lot of people say that all he does is he's just your guy that organizes everything.
Okay, you need that. You need one of those guys, too.
Yeah, I think Matt Nagy would be really good at that if he had a chance. Caller's hanging there. We'll get right back to you. Got to talk some Bulls basketball, too. Another great win. They're ninth in a row last night as they knocked off the Wizards. We'll talk about that. We'll take your calls. Hanley and Huebner on ESPN 1000.
Sam, I have this question because I was a skeptic of Fred Huebner before this season. I know a lot of people are
Fred
still.
Fred Hoiberg, you mean.
No, Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
Oh, did I say Huebner? Why? I'm never a skeptic of Fred Huebner.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hey, Fred Smurf. You know, you were the best partner a guy could ever have. I thank you for the 30 years we were together. Well, we had a few unplanned furloughs, but it was almost 30. Hey, it was great. I watched the Cubs, so you didn't have to. You watched the White Sox, so I didn't have to. It was perfect. You're going to love retirement, Fred. But 2 years ago, I learned one tip. You'll think that you now have time to do more of those things. Wrong. You won't have the time to do half the things you want to do. Enjoy it. Take two and go to right.
Ah, Murph and I did evenings, did mornings.
Those mixed marriages work out sometimes.
Yeah, they
do. Sox fan, Cub fan.
Well, it helped too when the Sox were Cubs were on the West Coast. And I would tell Murph would watch the Cubs religiously and keep scoring everything. And I would make sure I cut out all the highlights. Thank goodness for videotapes and then DVRs because you're able to keep up on everything.
My Murph's yellow pad. Man, you talk about it. Yeah,
I've gone to it. And it's funny because Murph popularized it, but
I've got mine here.
We used them at Sports Phone back in the day. And that's how we would have all the scores and all the other things back in the 80s and then in through the 90s. So 312-332-3776. We'll get to some Bulls stuff from last night. But first, this caller intrigues me. Ronnie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on?
Not much. I just was calling in. I wanted to see if I could chat with Fred, and I wanted to understand, you know, why is a guy in Chicago, why is a guy in Chicago a fan of the 49ers? And I'm thinking that maybe he might be a Notre Dame guy that he's somehow connected to some guy named Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a guy that's sitting there thinking that, you know what, I like the way that those guys – play football, you know, they have a nice defense. They're not like the Bears defense, but, you know, they're really tough. And so, you know, tell me, I want to know why.
Well, you got it right. This is Ronnie Lott, Hall of Famer, absolutely wonderful guy. And Ronnie, when I was a kid growing up, I did the wrong thing. When I got through high school, I realized I never wanted to take math or science again. And I went to broadcasting school. But right before that, I'd watch Notre Dame play. And I watched the Cotton Bowl, and, yeah, Joe did some nice things. And then he goes to the 49ers. My dad got divorced. My dad moved out to the Bay Area, and I just became a Niner fan. And I picked the right time. I also tell people I picked the right time to pick the right quarterback. I could have picked Todd Blackledge or something to be a fan.
Well, here you could have picked 40 quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah,
I could have picked any other. So, yeah. But
you picked the right guy. And the reason you picked the right guy is that it's funny because, you know, I had to play against the guy for 4 years and playing against someone like that, as you well know, you find yourself realizing that, man, God, no wonder I hate these guys. You know, it's hard beating them. And it's, you know, we got fortunate enough to beat them, you know, one time, but he was obviously, you know, and he's done, you know, an amazing job of not only being a great quarterback, but a great citizen to San Francisco. And he's got his, you know, he's got his version of his, you know, life of being in the in football, and it's his version of Michael Jordan.
Yep.
You know, Last Dance. So that's coming out. So yeah, you picked the right guy.
Well, and like you were saying, you played him four times, and there was nothing better back in those days than the USC Notre Dame matchups. Every year when Notre Dame's schedule came out, you wanted to see when that was, because you know it's not like now where you could find any college game on TV, but you always knew Notre Dame and USC.
Game, yeah.
That was going to be a national game, and that's what it was fun. And Ronnie, it was tough for me being a Bears fan, because I would do Bears pregame shows with Steve McMichael, and he goes, every time I mention the Cotton Bowl, he look at me and I say, I'm sorry, I won't mention the Cotton Bowl again. And then one time I had my 49ers head covers on my golf clubs.
Oh,
Alex Brown goes, what the hell is that?
You don't do that. You don't bring the opposing team's colors to the golf course.
I had to watch that out too.
But I can tell you right now, I would not want to get him mad. I've known Steve for a long time.
Yep.
And I used to laugh because every time we would play him and play against that group, obviously over the years, as we all know, man, one of the great defensive lines, one of the great defenses in the history of the NFL. But Steve was one of those guys that when you looked at him, he kind of gave you a look that you went, you know, he might go a little psycho on me, man. he could go a little crazy on you. So you had to be very careful when you were around McMichaels. But, man, what a phenomenal football player.
Yep.
And as you guys know, man, all of those guys that were on that defense were guys that I used to bow to because of the fact that the way that not only did they play, but the temperament and the passion that they have for each other and the passion that they have for the game of football. And I just want to salute you, Fred, for being a person who
with wisdom and intelligence.
All of those great things, along with the fact that, man, there's a passion.
Yeah.
The passion of sports that I've seen with so many great athletes, you know, Ron Santos, I'm sitting here thinking of the, you know, great Michael Jordan, you can go down the list of great athletes. I'm sitting here thinking of the guy who, I can't believe I can't think of his name. Everybody knows the great baseball player that played for the Chicago Cubs.
Ernie Banks.
I'm the only one that's, you know, been hit in the head too many times. Ernie Banks.
So
Ernie Banks, and as you well know, guys like that, when you meet them and you're around them and you're around those folks that you've been around over the years and you've had a chance to talk to them, how lucky are you, man?
Yeah.
How lucky are you that you had that? That you had the platform.
Yeah.
You had the platform to be able to talk to them and get to know them and to get to understand them. And again, I love sports. I'm sitting here watching Montana get killed by North Dakota State. So, I mean, that tells you how much I love sports. And so, man, I just wanted to congratulate you and for all of what you've done and your buddy asked me to give you a call, and so I wanted to call in and just share that with you, man.
Ronnie,
congratulations.
I appreciate it. The first Super Bowl I've ever went to, actually the only Super Bowl I ever went to in person, I went to number 19, and man, oh man, at Stanford Stadium, and when you guys handled the Dolphins, the Montana and Marino matchup, and I'm leaving Stanford Stadium, and you guys didn't have to worry about it probably because after the champagne and everything else, you probably got a lift home. But I got lost four times because of all the fog. It was fog everywhere. I missed the turnoff three times to get to my dad's house in San Ramon.
You're in the Redwood Forest.
Oh, my God. I was lost. I kept calling my dad. He goes, you missed the turn. I missed it three times because of the fog and everything else out there. But I got to see one of the greatest teams play and just wonderful. I really appreciate you jumping on and calling. That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, man. And that was a phenomenal Super Bowl to have it in our backyard. So, again, you're bringing up some incredible moments in my life. And like a lot of people would say, hey, man, only you guys know how to describe it. You know what it was like. You've been there, and you get to share that with the fans. So, again, man, thanks for bringing up this story, and congratulations for all of what you've been able to do.
Hey, Ronnie, Fred's recording Montana, North Carolina State, so.
No, I'm not. That's, I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
You get, you know how, remember the A-track where you put it in the A-track and you had to stick it in there and you had to record it and
yep.
you would sit there and you would study it. Or in my case, I had Hacksaw Reynolds. Hacksaw Reynolds was right next to me, and he had an 8mm projector camera, and it stayed in his locker, and he would watch films in his locker. And so, you know, I've seen all the, you know, the progression of
sure.
what we have today, where we can actually see it on our phone, to, you know, watching it where all of a sudden it was on a 8mm. You know, camera, and you're sitting there going, what is he doing? Why is he watching all this film? And he's like, but man, I love it, Ronnie. You got to understand how to get the edges of light. You got to figure it out.
That's awesome. Absolutely so, awesome.
Yeah, we've come a long ways, man,
yep.
trying to find edges in our life.
Yeah, well, let's just hope they can take care of the Rams tomorrow and get to the postseason. It'll be fun to watch them try and make it, because this year they've been fun watching Debo get more carries and watching that defense. And, you know, for a team that like the Niners, who's had so many damn injuries, to still be there and persevere, it says something about Shanahan and that team this year.
He's wearing his Niners sweatshirt.
Yep,
he left the putrid yellow Niners jacket at home today, but yeah, he's got all the apparel.
Yep.
Hey man, I don't know how you do that in Chicago, bro.
Well, you know what? There's some respect. They'd much rather see me in a Niners shirt
than
a Packers shirt.
Sure, yeah.
So yeah, that would never happen.
Yeah, now I do get that. I understand that.
Ronnie, appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're the best. Thanks.
Ronnie Lott calling from Northern California, and that was very, very cool. And our guy Randy Merkin is probably got a story about Ronnie in his book.
Yeah.
So that's probably where it came from. So I got a copy of the book, and that'll be the first thing I sit and read in retirement, Randy's book, because all the people he's been able to talk to and get
Didn't
to know
Wayne
and stuff.
Gretzky, you told the story about calling in Pat Boyle told the story.
Yeah.
Because Merck had Wayne Gretzky call in to wish JD a happy birthday.
That's right.
Because they shared the same birthday.
That's right.
And Gretzky's like, you want me to do what?
Yeah.
To who?
Yeah.
And he did it. And, you know, Merck wasn't taking no for an answer.
No,
and
of course
JD
not.
Was kind of embarrassed. And then Pat PB said during the call there was some static or whatever. And JD was looking for an out. So, all right. Thanks, great one. Thanks for making the call.
Yeah. Usually we get a guy like that on. You don't want to give him the bum's rush, you
no.
know? No. You want to get to your thing now?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and callers, well, hang in there. We'll get right to you. We're here until 1 o'clock.
312-332-3776. It's terrific to salute Fred here. And also I want to send out a salute to the Segobiano family down in Bloomington, Illinois. My good buddy Mike Segobiano. Unfortunately, he's saying goodbye to his mom, Barbara, wonderful wife, mother, grandmother. And everyone in Bloomington, Illinois knows the Segobianos, and everyone up here in Chicago, big city that it is, it's a small town, everyone knows Sago, and they all go by Sago, but my buddy Mike Segobiano has been up here forever. So big Notre Dame family, you're not going to find a bigger one. Earmuffs, Cubs family,
uh-huh.
huge. And they also, she was a Pearl Harbor survivor.
Jeez.
Her dad was on a submarine stationed in Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
On December 7, 1941.
Right.
And they survived it. And she is a cancer survivor, lived a wonderful life. They ran the Bloomington Knockers Youth Football Program down in Bloomington. Started back in 1957. And she and her husband, Paul, have been running this forever. So all these kids...
Sure.
went through that football program. So, you know, they're in lieu of flowers, they were asking for donations that, but you know, it's a heartbreaking day for the Segobianos, but they're celebrating the life of a wonderful woman. And I couldn't be there in person today, so I just want to make sure that they knew I was there in spirit.
Yeah, thank you. Very, very nice. Nicely said. Callers, hang in there. We'll get right back to you here till 1 o'clock talking some Bulls. I swear we'll get to some Bulls if you'd like to. 312-332-3776. Hanley and Huebner on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Freddie, it's your buddies, Waddle and Sylvie.
Welcome into Waddle's World.
We're that time, yes. When we go to Waddle's World, we've got a boatload of nuttiest stories of the day that we're just going to read you right now.
I got poop stories, I've got penis stories, and I've got somebody lit their trailer park home on fire stories for you.
That is great. We know how much he's probably taken his headphones off right now and tuned us
probably
out.
Probably on the set of Grumpy Old Men Part 5, isn't he?
He is our favorite grumpy old bastard that we know.
Yes. You know where Freddie stands on each and every topic. He's been a diehard Chicago sports fan. He's been a fixture on the scene here in Chicago when it comes to sports talk radio and sports in general.
Freddie's helped me both on the radio and off the radio with our cancer journeys as well. So thank you, Fred. Waddle's absolutely right. You always knew where Fred Huebner stood, and that's what we love about him, and that's what a great talk show host and someone in this business is all about. Have an opinion. You know, it's now this have a take and go. No, this is Fred Huebner's opinion, and we love him for it, no matter how stupid or nutty they are.
He never saddled up at the breakfast bar at Waffle House, ever, because that man was never waffling when it came to any sports conversation. Freddie, it's going to be, I'm be sad not seeing him on a daily or weekly or however long his basis it is, but he's earned the right to go do what he wants.
While he's not going up to the Waffle House, he is going to the bar to enjoy some craft beers.
Yes.
So, Freddie, let's raise our glasses. Here's to you and a happy retirement.
Amen.
See, something you usually don't tell a person is when you're doing a show for them and filling in. So if I filled in for Sylvie or filled in for Waddle and it was time for Waddle's World, usually you don't tell them on the air that you didn't like the segment. I would.
Florida or Ohio? Which one are you retiring to? Yeah, Florida or Ohio? Yeah,
I never ever got that right either. But it's just, you know, and it's, you know, I grew up and just, you know, my dad told me, don't ever care what everybody else thinks about you. Just do what you want to do.
God bless.
And you try. And in this business, sometimes you got to be a little bit nice to people. And my thing was, if I don't like the person, I really don't want to have them on the air. And they, years ago, they always said, you hate to meet your heroes because they're either going to let you down or, you know, the odds are they may let you down, you know. And I did a show last week on one of the podcasts, or David Schuster's podcast, and we had a guy on, Eric Clemens, who used to work at Sports Phone with us. He was one of the first guys from the Chicago area who was on doing sports centers on ESPN when ESPN started. And he told me, he goes, I'll always remember a phrase that you told me. I haven't seen Eric or worked with Eric since the mid-80s. He said, you told me one time your dad taught you that imagine everyone, and I'm going to clean it up, imagine everyone's a bad guy until they prove differently. And he goes, I've always remembered that phrase. And he goes, you know what? It works.
And I just said, supposed to be the other way around?
It is. And my girlfriend says, you're supposed to think everybody's a good person.
Right.
I said, but you're going to be disappointed so often. If you think everybody's a bad guy until they prove otherwise,
Ronnie Lott mentioned Ernie Banks and Ron Santo.
Yeah.
And as a Cubs fan growing up as a 9-year-old, 69 Cubs were everything, you know, I was all about this. To meet Ernie Banks and find out he was as nice a guy as you're ever going to meet.
Exactly.
Just like you.
Yeah.
The guy you would hope him to be, he is. To be able, when I was covering the Cubs, to have dinner with Ron Santo almost every single night.
Amazing.
And Ronnie Lott talking about their passion. If the Cubs teams that I covered had as much anger that and disappointment that Ron had after
a loss,
a meaningless game on a team going nowhere, and he'd be like, have 10 questions wanting to go in the clubhouse and ask. He's like, you know, what'd they say? I'm like, they're worried that the lasagna was cold, and they're upset. They didn't give a damn about the game, Ron. But,
yeah.
You know, thanks for your passion.
Yeah. No, I understand. But then you'll meet other guys that were just bad guys. You go, okay.
Yeah, you know what? Fine. And you're like, I kind of thought he might be.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Well, and then everybody in town had their opinions on Jay Mariotti.
Mm-hmm.
Reading him, whatever. The first time I met him, could not have been a nicer guy.
And no, he was always fine with me.
Yeah.
But
so, you know.
He never left me a voicemail, though.
Let's go to Bolingbrook. Thanks, guys, for hanging on there. Ron, what's up?
Hey, Fred. I've been calling since you've been on the radio, man, and it's been a joy listening to you all this time. Sad that you're going to be leaving, but I'm glad you're still with us, not gone somewhere. You're an amazing person to listen to on the radio. Very clear, always. I enjoy listening to you. I can't turn it off when you're on. And I've been listening since they had ESPN on the radio.
Yep.
And I've it my
oh, Ron,
ESPN 1000 all the time.
Cool. I appreciate it.
And enjoy whatever you're going to be doing. But I would like to say I am enjoying the Bulls. This is a team, if you don't watch, you're going to miss something exciting.
Yep.
Last night was an amazing game. I finally got to catch one from the beginning to the end. Oh, my God, what a game. That yep. was amazing.
They're fun to watch, Ron. And
now we have to wait and see what they're going to do moving forward and fill in some pieces here, because this is a contending team.
Yes.
And you might have to make a big move to really cement your place in this league.
I'm glad I don't have that decision, because who do you get rid
of? Exactly right. You got to give to get.
Maybe they can do it just the way they are. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Ryan, appreciate the call. Why don't you get as many in as we can? I know they talked about it a little bit last night, and I know we've talked about it too, but some of the highlights from last night, Lonzo Ball just had a very interesting night. Plus, he had a headband and everything on last night.
Going up in the middle of the lane to reset the possession. Ball, catch and shoot. Oh,
that's a big baller. Big ball from the corner.
Here's Zach LaVine right into Bradley. Oh, Beal on the reverse. He just bullied him.
That's bully ball right there. It's a man's game. No boys allowed.
It's a man's game. And you look at it, and there was a scene, I guess, Io was playing, and Bradley Beal told him about a certain thing, a way to get away around a move and a way to make something happen. Later in the game, Io used it on Bradley Beal, and he said, you're not supposed to use it today.
Yeah,
he said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm giving this to you to use later.
Yeah, put that in the file cabinet.
Yeah, not against me. Let's go to our guy, and I'm pretty sure I know who this is. Ron on the South Side, what's happening?
Absolutely. Look here, real quick. I've been doing this for 36 years. I can say the two people I talked to the most was Fred and Murph. And then particularly you, Fred, because you know what? I don't call about the Bears, the Bulls, anything. Our beloved White Sox. Let me just take you back real quick. Back on the morning, you mentioned them when you and Murph was on the morning.
Yep.
And I kept thinking this caller's name. His name was Corey. And he would call and say, morning, Murph. Morning, Fred.
Yep. All the time.
Remember?
Yep.
All the time.
Uh-huh.
But it's not much I can say. I mean, we were able to enjoy, again, our White Sox getting to the championship all those years, calling and saying, well, they need this. They need a pitcher. They need the manager. But because I love the White Sox, and I know your passion, and we've talked it for so long, and it's not much I can say. That just I have enjoyed you. I am so happy for you. And you know what, Fred? I can sit and listen to and you would talk about soccer and anything, because I just enjoyed you and just enjoy listening to you. Same thing about you, Brian. You know, I've been with you guys for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, love Murph, love all y'all. So I'm going to go on that. Hey, Fred, I know me and you are contemporary age-wise, and I will actually be retiring in July also. So
there you go.
I'm looking forward to that. But again, now, lastly, because I know if the White Sox, we're going to hope, Fred, that they can get back to the World Series, and you should come back on and do some commentary and take calls on AM 1000. That's all I ask.
I think you should be next to Jason and Stoney up in the booth for a game.
But Fred, God bless you and enjoy retirement, and just always think about me when you're watching White Sox.
Always.
Okay.
We always
take
do.
Take care, guys.
Appreciate it, Ron. Yeah, one of the great,
Southside
great
callers. Southside Ron. Yeah. You know, if he called about the Cubs, then you'd have to change the moniker.
Yeah, we know that it was an imposter.
He would show up at the remotes. We had great conversations. His passion right there. I mean, just terrific. That the connection you made, Fred, it's unbelievable.
And that's what, you know, I always remember those things and all the people. And like I was telling you earlier about Bob from Rosemont, every time I would see that, I'd go, okay, I got to listen, because he's going to bring up points that I haven't thought about, or he's going to give me a different spin on something I thought. Callers, hang in there. I promise we'll get right to you. We come back after this on ESPN 1000.
I think Bryce Harper is going to get less than Manny did.
Ooh, a bat? Sandwich bat?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We got a sandwich bat. We're going guaranteed money, right? Not this fictional at-bat money at 35 years old.
Yeah, sandwich bat.
Hey, Fred, it's Hanley. Just want to add my voice to the chorus and salute you on a wonderful 30-year career. I have no idea where the time went. But I do know this. The last couple of years, sitting next to you, talking sports, having lots of laughs, well, it's simply been among the most enjoyable shows I've ever done. And I know when Fred Huebner makes a decision, he usually doesn't change his mind. But if you do change your mind and want to come back for the occasional show, we'll keep the Saturday and Sunday seats warm for you and the mic hot, and we'll find out what's up Fred's can. I'll go now because I'm sure John from Evanston's on hold, but this isn't goodbye. I'll call you next Friday about midnight and ask you what the West Coast score is on my bet, just like the old sports phone days. And then you'll change your phone number. Take care, my friend.
That was very nice, Brian. And, you know, when I got let go by the other station in December 5th, 2008, I remember it well. They made me come all the way in and told me I was fired. They couldn't have done it the day before I left. But anyway, and I was not expecting it. But
I came in from vacation.
Did you really?
I mean, it was my first day back, and I know the contract hadn't been done. And, yeah. You know, they were saying, oh, yeah, a guy in Philadelphia who does it's been busy and blah, blah. And so I go up there, and the dope who did it, he tosses me a bottle of water. He's like, hey, you thirsty? I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I'm waiting for a low ball offer. And he's like, you know, in like 30 seconds, like, you know, you had a wonderful time here and see you later. I'm like, did I just get fired?
Yeah, unbelievable. That was the first time I'd ever been fired, so I didn't take it all
same
that well.
Thing. It was the only time I've been fired. Yeah.
And, but, Brian, you were one of the first people that reached out, and so was Bruce Levine. You did. Bruce Levine reached out to me right away. He said, I'm going to try to put a good word in for you at ESPN 1000 and things like that. And that was very, very nice. And the one thing I learned is, you know, just when you're working with these people, if they're nice people, you treat them nice. You have lifelong relationships.
Sure.
And that's what we've done in the past. And, you know, I was telling people the first show I ever did, I worked with Jim Memolo right after.
I used to work with Jim all the time.
And now you can't turn on MLB radio during the season without hearing him on the weekends. Yeah. I would listen to it on the way home, and he'd be on all the time. And right now, I don't know what they're doing on MLB radio with no hot stove.
I used to do Saturday shows with Greeny.
Yeah.
And I knew back then, he knew back then he was going to be a TV star.
Yeah, but he did. But you know what? Greeny also one day did 3 hours on a Saturday saying that Cal Ripken's, Joe DiMaggio's 200 or 2000. No, it wasn't Cal Ripken. Yeah. Did Cal Ripken playing all those games?
That's not
such a big deal. It's just going to work.
It just showed up.
And he did 3 hours on that. Yeah. He came in. He goes, you know what? I'm going to take after Cal Ripken. He did 3 hours. It just took, of course, he got full phones.
Yeah, because
everyone's going to talk about that.
Hot take,
Yeah, there's no doubt. That's probably where hot takes came from. Yeah. Robin Sistro, you've been hanging out for a while. What's going on?
Hey, Fred. Yeah, just first-time caller. Thought it'd be a good time to call. Wish you the best at your retirement. From Cicero, born and raised, my father actually tells me stories about you. The Sujak family from West Cicero baseball.
Yep. I know them well.
We had
great times back then. Yep.
Yeah, he sends his best to you. Congratulations on your retirement and wish you all the best.
That sounds great. Thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate it.
I might have passed by your house on my way to Sportsman's because we had a shortcut through Cicero to get to Sportsman's in time for first race.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I became of age, we found the 5 o'clock or all 24-hour bars in Cicero.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I live right off 26th in Austin, and there was Goodwin School was there. And I tell the story all the time about my dad. My dad would drop me, my mom, my brother off, give us his bets, and then he wouldn't pick us up. So we walked from 33rd and Laramie.
Did you have money in the pockets from
usually?
Yeah.
There was one stretch where he won 7 trifectas in a row.
Oh, he should have popped for a limo.
Yeah, he should have done something. We knew we could have hot dogs at the little truck out there.
Right, yeah, yeah.
My brother Timmy and I, we could only eat throughout the whole day if we would gather our change. We won a bet $7.80 in one pocket.
It goes to the food fund.
But you could only do it if you had change. You weren't going to risk any of your dollars. You could bet on horses.
Right.
Yeah. And then when I went to Sportsman's and I went to collect a bet, and I was 18, and the guy says, how old are you? I said, as old as I was when you sold me the ticket. He goes, oh, okay. And punched it up and gave me the winnings. It's like, come on. You know, don't give me this stuff.
As old as I was 2 years ago, and 2 years older than 16 now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's go to Villa Park and Luis. Luis, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Happy 2022. Fred.
Yes.
I want to congratulate you for your retirement. And as a big fire fan, I want to say thank you. You always, I used to listen to you when you used to do Fire games, the Chicago Fire Weekly.
Yep.
I see you a couple of times on the Pop 97, and I want to say thank you for, you know, talking about our fire, and do want to wish you the best, and God bless you.
Well, they got, hey, listen, a new coach, and then now they got a defender from Cologne that came in, a veteran guy.
Can we announce
guy.
Now that you're on the coaching staff? That's
no,
the real reason?
No. Frankie Klopas would not have me on the coaching staff. I know Frank very well.
Are you going to fire game? Are you still going to go fire games? Or?
I'll pick and choose. I went to a lot of them this year. They weren't as good as they, you know. I'm going to be make. They got to prove it first.
Which game they're going to score?
Yeah,
that's the one he wants to go to.
Yeah, I went to a couple 0-0 draws. I don't need to do that anymore.
Okay.
Luis, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Hey, by the way, David Spada had Ronnie Lott call in. I assumed it was Merck, the producer of producers who has a phone number for everyone. Your buddy, our buddy, David Spada, has always been so good to all of us.
He's been great. He's advertised on radio for the longest time. And
Fenwick guy, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you
Long
and him bond,
prior.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that was very, very nice. David Spada doing it. It was very nice that he had him call up. Let's go to Elgin and Cleveland Dennis. What's up, Cleveland Dennis?
Yes, Fred. I've chased you up and down the dial for years, trying to figure out when you're on. Got you today. And citizen soul, Fred, but not really. Congratulations. I saw you at Bannerman's a couple of years back with Mike Davis. You talked to me.
Yep.
It was fantastic. I listened every morning when Mongo and you were on. And all the best. 2008, when you got let go, I guess that was a bad year for a lot of people.
Yep. I appreciate it. I appreciate you very much, Cleveland Dennis. That's great. Thank you very much.
Is that when the economy tanked, too? 2008, that started it all.
Yeah. There was nothing worse. I left the job one time because the sports phone closed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got fired, both times I had taken my wife out to dinner and told her at dinner that I lost my job.
Right.
And so anytime I would ask her out for dinner years later,
oh my,
she would go, did you lose
what
your
happened?
Job again?
Yeah.
I said, no, I won't do that again to you. I've done it a couple of times. I won't do it again. But that was very, very nice. And like I said, the guys here at ESPN, I don't want to say they took a chance on me. They allowed me to come in here and work with everybody and do what I had done before. I did updates and hosted with people and all the other stuff. And that was great. That was wonderful. And I've loved every minute of it. And, people say you're going to miss it. I've done it for a long time. I mean, there may be a day or two where I'll wake up and I got something to say, but that's going to be on Twitter or Facebook or something like that. And I told Carmen the other day, Carmen Yurko, I won't miss watching stuff that I don't want to watch. Because, you know, like on New Year's Eve,
you're obligated to.
Yeah, I said,
like
watched
you need
two
to
college
know
football
yeah.
playoff games that both sucked.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily have to watch Monday night either. So, which is great. So, this has all been great. And I love dealing with callers. Every station has had stretches where we're more guest oriented than caller. We're more caller oriented than guests. And I loved it since I came here that this station, especially on the weekends, we're more into getting callers on it.
Absolutely.
Talking to the people. And that's what I've always loved because, you know, agree or disagree, it's always great listening to people. And I always thought that when you told someone to call you, you try to get to everybody and you'd be nice to them, treat them with respect because you asked them to call. And I didn't agree with all their opinions, but I would tell them in a nice way, you know,
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
but
you can't. So, you know, I thought that kind of paid off. That was nice. And everybody that's called in and jumped on has been wonderful. And, it's very special.
And, Fred, I do want to say, too, okay, for my piece here, you were one of the first people here to really welcome me in. And I remember I was working your show with Murph. This was, like, probably one of my first few weeks here.
Yeah.
I hit a wrong button. All right. So there's sirens going off somewhere, and I'm thinking, oh, no, this might be the end for me here.
Uh-huh.
And Murph wasn't all too pleased with it, but you're the one that was there to have my back, calm him down. And that's just who you are. You were always a welcoming person. I remember at the Christmas party too. I'm there by myself, and you said, "Hey, why don't you come sit with me?"
Yeah.
And that's just who you are, and we're really going to miss you here on the station.
Thanks, I appreciate it. And the one thing I learned, because guys, I used to work with a sports phone. I was not always. They got together, like I said, on a podcast a couple weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. Well, last Monday, I guess it was, or last Sunday night. And they said the one thing we always knew about Fred is we didn't have to worry about what kind of mood he was going to be, and he was always going to be grumpy. And I said, you know, I was originally when I worked with a lot of people, and I realized it was probably an easier way to get to people. And then as the younger people came up, the more, you know, I would always tell people, listen, if you make a mistake, that's fine. Everyone's going to make mistakes. Just don't let it happen a second time.
Yeah.
And because and
learn from it. Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to be nice to people. And, if, you know, you can get more from people by being nice to them. And I learned that.
It doesn't cost you anything.
No, it doesn't. And my buddies right now are probably just shaking their head going, really?
Yeah, okay.
You've never
yeah.
been nice. Yeah. But
when are you going to start? Monday?
Yeah. Well, like I said, my nieces and nephews, I tell them that I'm watching two grandkids now, 2 years old and 6 months old. And they go, what are their parents like? Why are they letting you watch kids? And listen, I'm different. I'm older. I'm a little less grumpy. But I can still get there when I see something that ticks me off. Like when I'm watching the news and every time they throw it to someone, they'll say, let's go on out to Tyler Aki on the scene. And Tyler will say, well, Fred. And then when he's done, he'll say, back to you, Fred. And they'll say, well, thank you, Tyler. Shut up.
Just
get to the next damn story.
Thank you. You're getting paid to be out
exactly.
there. Exactly. Thank you. Like you got out of bed and did somebody a favor today? No.
Yeah, we appreciate it. My girlfriend says, just let it go. I said, I can't.
No.
Somebody told someone that and one of the stations, our station, but somebody played, it might have been Black and Abdallah, they played the John Drummond when he stood outside Soldier Field.
One of the classics.
And I'm saying, from that time on, you should not have had people out there because you knew the fans were going to get more unruly. But nobody...
Bulldog wasn't having any of it.
They keep doing it. It's just like, okay. But that's, you know, I'll complain about that somewhere else and on my podcast. And like I said, if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, you can find it. Or look under 1252 on Twitch or YouTube. And you'll find it there because I've been doing it with my guy, Fat Mike. He's been a great guy to run into and meet. And he wanted me to do a podcast. I said, as long as I can talk sports and beer. We're in.
Hey, we got a 4-pack of Huebner beer that you brought in that's got our names on it, Tyler, Jake, and you.
Yep.
And one more time, I salute you, my man. It's been wonderful. You'll be here tomorrow after the Bears game.
Yes, which will be fun. I'm kind of hoping, for my sake, that they do something right after the game.
It'd be unbearlike.
It would be unbearlike. Thanks, everybody, for calling. Thanks to David Spader for setting up Ronnie Lott. That was great. Jason Benetti was awesome having him call, and I will get him on my podcast when I find some time, and that would be wonderful, too. I can't wait for him to start calling White Sox baseball again. And remember, you can always hear White Sox baseball here on ESPN 1000, at least whenever they start playing again. So thanks a lot. I'll be here tomorrow night or tomorrow after the game for Bears Conversation. Thanks a lot.
One more time.
Yeah, thanks very much. I appreciate it. Brian Hanley, Fred Huebner, and I'll be back tomorrow. I got the Bears winning the game, so I have to get that in beforehand because I won't have any time to say it until then. So thanks for everything. Thanks to all the callers, and thank you for listening here on ESPN 1000.